We're going to go back east and bring in Howard Bryant of ESPN. Howard, how are you this morning?
This afternoon, Marty. I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah, did it go past noon already for you? I guess it did. All right. Very good. I'm doing fine, and a nice day out here in California. And for you, a couple of things. You know, I always like to talk to the big picture of baseball. A lot of discussion this week of the possibility of extending this wild card game from one game to an actual three-game series. What do you think about that?
Well, I've never liked the playoff format as a one-gamer. I've always felt like it was gimmicky. It was trying to capitalize on that crazy end of the 2011 season. I've never been a fan of it. I've always felt like you kind of have to have – you got to have the courage to not have it both ways. Either you're going to have a 162-game season, and that season is going to determine who makes the playoffs, or you're going to have to shorten the season and have what some people really want, which is an NBA-style, NFL, NHL-style postseason where you got 10 or 12 teams making the playoffs, which I know Terry Francona was always a big fan of. I really don't like it. I think if you're going to play 162, you've earned the right to have your season last longer than 9 innings. I think it should at least be 3 out of 5 or 2 out of 3. And I say to the argument that, well, you know, travel-wise, you can't do a 2 out of 3. It doesn't work. Well, I think that what you should do then, you know, is I think it should be 2 out of 3 because you can't have one of the teams waiting around for a week. I think that the team with a better record should simply get a home series. So at least it's going to be like the old, you know, even the old National League playoff, which was 2 out of 3. I think at least you've earned the right to have your season determined over more than one day.
All right. No, I'm with you on that. Theo Epstein came up with a novel idea. Howard Bryant with us. Howard, Theo said, well, let's have a doubleheader one day. And then if it'll still set up perhaps a very exciting second game or third game. And you could have it the way you want it, have it all in one spot.
Yeah, I don't like the header because that means that somebody's not going to play. What if the first game goes 12 innings? You can't usually close it for the second game or whatever. I don't like that, but I do feel like one day is not enough after 6 months of baseball. And I also think that the problem that baseball is having is, once again, you can't have it both ways. You want to have a season mean something. You want it to be something of value. But at the same time, if you've got two wild cards, you know, you've got the American League is looking like the Eastern Conference in basketball right now. You've got, and the Western Conference is the National League. You're going to have the Cubs or the Pirates, two teams that have really played well all season long. One of those teams is going out after one day. Hmm. And that's just not right. Those teams deserve a real series. It's not like, you know, it's not like you're going to have a team winning 81 games or 82 games getting to the World Series on that side. Some deserving team is going out. And then on the other hand, in the American League, everyone's talking about all the excitement. Okay, I am very impressed with the Texas Rangers. I don't think the Yankees have been a particularly good team all season. They're okay. They're not a great team. And so on what, you know, the Red Sox at one point were 7 games under .500 in last place, and we're only 3.5 games out of the second wild card. So, once again, I just don't think that baseball is the kind of sport where modernization means trying to be like the other sports. It doesn't work in this game. When you play 152 games, I want the best teams playing for the championship. Otherwise, what's the point of watching this game all summer?
Boy, Rob Manfred, you know, he says, we'll look at everything, the new commissioner, and that's why all this came up this week with Theo Epstein. The other thing, before we leave this topic, they talk about now reseeding the teams after the first game. So let's say the Pirates win the game and you've got them with a better record than the Mets or the Dodgers and St. Louis with a better record. So St. Louis doesn't get the Pirates, but they would reseed it. So perhaps the Pirates play the Mets or the Dodgers. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't have a problem with that because I think that sometimes you get the matchup that you don't want early, and I think that's problematic. But I think that it comes down to the same conversation that you have in basketball, whereas, okay, do divisions matter? And if divisions matter, then I don't think you should necessarily reseed because the value of winning your division is that you get the easier road. And I think that, but again, having the best record in baseball also means you get the easier road. So I think that's a tough call, depending on how it works. I mean, for example, you know, as San Francisco Giant fans know really, really well, you get a 103-win season in 93, and you end up going nowhere. And so, you know, I kind of feel like, on the one hand, and then the reason why I bring that up is because, okay, if you're going to reseed, then you can't have an unbalanced schedule, because you're playing more games in your division for the purpose of proving that you're the best team in that division. Mm-hmm. And so if that's not going to matter, if you're simply going to shuffle it up again once the playoffs get started, then you should go back to a balanced schedule so that no team is having the advantage or the disadvantage of playing in a tough division or a weaker division.
Great, boy, great, Howie. I love talking about this stuff with you. I thought of one other thing that they're talking about, and that is making the wild card even more disadvantaged by less home games in the first division series. It looks like they're just trying to do what you say, and that is make the division series really mean something, and they really want to mess around the wild card team.
I don't think that's what it is at all. I disagree with you completely. I think that what they're trying to do is baseball is trying to, once again, they're trying to do something that is very, very difficult in this sport, which is to try to act modern while at the same time trying to maintain some of your traditions. And I think that the traditions are why people come to this game. It's why people watch the game. I also understand as well that some of the stuff has to go as you modernize. And the real problem that they're having is they're trying to make winning the division valuable. They're trying to maintain that old tradition of when you win the division, you get something for it after all these months and all these games played. But at the same time, if you're going to keep adding teams, or if you're going to try to expand and modernize your postseason, then something's going to have to give. And I don't think that you're doing much of a favor to anybody by trying to make the wild card more and more difficult, because at some point you have to just accept the fact that this is the price of having more playoff teams. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, that second wild card, it's coming really soon. That second wild card, you're going to have a down year like you've got in the American League. And the second wild card is going to be an 81-win team. And it's going to be the 81 NBA Finals, where a 40-42 team reaches the finals because they get hot or whatever. So I think that what baseball really needs to do is baseball has to decide if its traditions actually really matter. I still feel like the best thing that the sport can do is you either have to expand by two, realign, do something, and then have your first place teams make the playoffs and get rid of the wild card altogether. If you had 32 teams and you have your divisions, first place team wins, then you go back to normal, because I just don't think it works any other way. Otherwise, then you have to go back and be like the other sports and just accept the fact that some teams are going to win their divisions early and they're going to be able to set up for the playoffs, and some teams are already going to know they're in the playoffs, and winning the division is devalued. You cannot do both. You can't have both. It just doesn't work in this sport.
All right, beautiful, beautiful analysis of this. Howard, can we take a break? Are you okay doing another segment?
Sure.
All right, good. Let's take a break. Howard, I'm going to ask you about the MVP races here. And we've got Trout and Donaldson. The National League is wide open. Is Donaldson a shoo-in? How good is Trout? And the other part is you were there for Mulder, Hudson, and Zito. And next weekend, we're going to get, I think, a Hudson-Zito matchup. So I want to touch base with you on that, too. All right, Howard Bryan is with us from ESPN. We'll be back with him right after this.
Now back to KNBR's Giants pregame. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
Howard Bryan is our guest from ESPN. A lot of fun as we go down the last few weeks of the season trying to figure out who's an MVP, because it is for life. If you could get named an MVP, it makes your resume forever. The American League, Howard, you got Mike Trout, you got Josh Donaldson. How good is Mike Trout?
No, Mike Trout is as good as advertised. I think that when you I think he's done it long enough right now to realize what a great player he is. And I don't look at him and think that anything that he's doing now isn't going to be sustained over time. I think one frustrating thing about Trout as a player is that he's putting up great numbers, but baseball is so strange right now is that he's still not the signature face of the game. You would think he is hands down the best player. All-round, five-tool, great position player as well as a center fielder. You know, being that center fielder so you get the defensive cred as well as, you know, as well as what you're doing at the plate. But he's not a Griffey. He's not a Bonds. He's not a Brett or one of those guys. And I wonder if baseball is ever going to try to embrace that sort of superstar model again, because the game is so local. I think it's one of the things that the Giants do so well is that they've recognized that, you know, hey, they may not be household names nationally, but boy, when you're in that city, everybody knows who the best players are. It's something that is a major shift, and I think you see it as well in terms of the strategies and marketing some of the players. Josh Donaldson, on the other hand, wow. I think he's the MVP because I look at what his team has done. Obviously, once they made that trade, there's just so much great energy in Toronto, and I do think that there's value. I think there's value outside of simply putting up the big numbers. I know that the Angels were close, and they're still, they're not a bad team, but Toronto has been the story of the American League this year. They might be the story of baseball between them and the Mets and the year that Donaldson's having. You look at Cespedes and you look at Donaldson and you sort of don't even want to watch baseball if you're an Oakland A's fan.
Well, big trades that didn't work out, though. We'll put that on the list. But how about the National League MVP? Is Cespedes in the picture coming over? He's done stuff in 40 games that you got to go back to 1949 to see Hank Sauer of the old Chicago Cubs do. Has he put himself in this MVP race, or is
well,
it just...
Absolutely he has, and I've had problems with this whole notion that, you know, if you're there for half a season or whatever, that you're not really eligible. I thought CeCe Sabathia should have been in the Cy Young conversation when he went to Milwaukee a few years ago. It's what you do when you get there, and if you have that impact, if you are the difference maker, then that should count no matter sort of how it happens. You know, Rick Sutcliffe was a difference maker when he came over to the Cubs, and I think that this is one of the things that we talk about. I still think that if you're going to go start to finish, Bryce Harper is your MVP. He's had the best season, but his team hasn't had the best season. I'm also conflicted about splitting the MVPs as a whole anyway, because now that you have interleague every single day, why do you have two different MVPs? They're not split leagues anymore. So I'm not even sure how I feel about the MVP voting as a whole now that baseball has been messing with the traditions. But if I don't have a vote this year, but if I did, you know, let's not forget, you know, talk about difference makers. You got Arrieta and Greinke as well. They're not going to get this sort of consideration because they're pitchers, and pitchers have their own award. But I think Bryce Harper is the guy also because he held up his end. That team was supposed to run away with it all, but he did what he's supposed to do. The guy's hitting 340, he's got 40 bombs. What else are you supposed to do? And he took on that pressure of being the top guy on the top team. The team wasn't there, but it's not because of him.
Boy, very well. Yeah, most people agree with what you're saying, although the Cespedes thing, there is a little resistance to doing it for 2 months. Manny Ramirez, when he went over to the Dodgers, was in
the same
position. Howard, you were there for Hudson's debut, Zito's debut next week in a very romantic...
And Mulder's debut.
And Mulder, yeah, so he'll be out there throwing out the first pitcher, doing some. Maybe they'll have him umpire. But, you know, it's sort of the romantic side of baseball. Hudson's calling it a career. Zito probably as well. We'll see them next weekend. What do you think?
Well, I like it. I remember, I was covering that team, you know, for the San Jose Mercury. And, you know, for all of their debuts, for Tejada, for Chavez, for Mulder, Hudson, Zito, for the rebirth of that franchise. And there is a bittersweetness about it if you're an Oakland A's fan or if you just, you know, love watching the game, that group didn't stick together, that they maybe could have stayed together a little bit longer, but I understood why Billy did what he felt he had to do. I think one of the great disappointments is going to be the fact that each one of those guys should be in the category of of a Maddox and a Smoltz and Glavin, but it's not going to be that way for them, even though I don't think that trio won as much in the postseason as they should have either. The bottom line, the defining line with that with the Oakland trio had been that each one of those guys had been on the mound in a closing game, in a closeout elimination game, and none of them won. None of them came through. I think Zito was there when the rest of the group was gone in 96 when they finally beat the Tigers. I'm sorry, 2006, rather,
yeah.
When they beat the Tigers. But as a trio, a lot of missed opportunities in the postseason. But as individuals, you got to love the fact that they did win in the Bay. They just didn't win in Oakland. They won on the other side. Both Zito and Hudson have championships and were championship-level players. And both of them contributed. I think that as much as everyone talked about Zito and we used to forecast who was going to be the best player, I always thought Zito was going to be the best player out of the three, but it turns out that I think Hudson has had the best career. And, you know, he's the toughest one of the three. But when it was go time for Barry Zito, in, you know, when it was time in 2012, after not even being on the postseason in 2010, he came through. He saved that franchise in 2012. And so each guy has something that they can be proud of. I think Oakland fans would really have wished that they had done more together. But once again, if you're an A's fan and you came out of 95, 96, 97, that trio made baseball fun again in Oakland, along with Giambi and Tejada and Eric Chavez.
What? You didn't like Don Wengert and John Wasden and Willie Adams
no.
and Steve Wojciechowski?
You know, it's tough, Marty. It's really tough because, once again, the numbers would have suggested back then that the A's were going to be the team that stuck together and that it didn't last. It didn't last the way it should have. It didn't end the way it should have. And especially for Mulder as well, who had the injuries as well in 21 season. And then he never really forecasted out the way he was supposed to. But once again, that's why we watch, and that's why you kind of see what happens with all of these games. I mean, you never thought that Barry Zito was going to do what he did after his big contract, after 2010, having to celebrate without really feeling like he may have earned it. I don't know how you kind of go through that. I was standing right next to him in Texas when they closed it out. And then to come back against St. Louis and to do what he did is big time. And I think that's the kind of stuff that you're going to remember about Barry Zito, even though people would look at that contract and say, oh, well, you know, he didn't fulfill it. He did what he had to do when it was go time.
Yeah, yeah. You have to watch the games. The games will tell you. You can do all the stats and sabermetrics, but it is a game on the field, and people do step up. Howard Bryan with us of ESPN. Howard, maybe a quick handicap or a little bit of what the playoffs might look like and some of the strongest teams, in your opinion?
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Dodgers and Mets. I'd like to see that, and it's funny because we're talking about go time and what it takes when it's your time to do what it's time to do. And Madison Bumgarner has done it. We've seen it. We haven't seen it from Clayton Kershaw yet. I'm wondering if this is going to be the postseason where Kershaw, Greinke takes the Dodgers home. And that's a big miss on the resume. We're talking about the Oakland A's guys. It was a big miss on their resume. The Braves trio came through in 95, but we haven't seen it yet from Kershaw and from Greinke, and so that's interesting to me. I like the Pirates. I would like to see what the Pirates do, and don't count out the Cubs. They're starting to play really, really well, and I'm in the American League. Who'd have thought that the Texas Rangers are even in play? I'm like kind of happy for all of them. I'm kind of leaning more toward Toronto because I'm romantic about when that city used to get 4 million, 92, 93. They haven't made the playoffs in 22 years. And so that's going to be fun to watch. But at the end of the day, I think, obviously, I'm not mentioning the Cardinals because I'm not a huge Cardinal guy, but I would like to see the Pirates. I'd like to see good baseball cities sort of come back, and I think we've seen it with Kansas City. We've seen it with some of the others. You know, with Pittsburgh hasn't quite gotten there yet, even though they've made the postseason. I'd like to see the Pirates make a little run. I think that would be fun for baseball.
Oh, great. Boy, I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I think every team has a story, and I like that. But the story is you got to pitch, as you pointed out, and you got to have that one guy who can carry you. And maybe...
Well, exactly. And, Marty, one last thing I was going to say, which is really going to be fun to watch in the American League, and it's one of the reasons why the Giants have been so good and people don't get it. It's that with the way baseball is today, with the way the postseason is right now, it's virtually impossible to stay hot for a month. You've got to have the pitching, you've got to have the defense, you've got to have the steel nerves more than ever. The Giants had it, the other teams haven't had it, and that's why I'm really, really looking at Toronto, because Toronto has pretty much bashed their way to first place. Can you hit your way to a World Series anymore? It's very, very hard to do.
Well, you may be able to do it with David Price, I'll tell you that. All right, great to have you with us. What's new in your world? What's up with you these days?
No, not a whole lot. I was actually in the Bay last week, Marty. I didn't call you.
I know. You and Murph had the bromance going. I know.
We did our thing. We went to House of Nanking. I went up to Marin and played some tennis. But I got to tell you, I made a difficult choice, and I don't know if it was the right call or not. I had a friend of mine in town who was torn between going to Muir Woods or going to the Giants game last Saturday. So we were staring at Redwoods when Bumgarner threw a one-hitter, so I'm not sure I made the right call there. But
thank goodness for Melvin Upton Jr.
Right?
I've never
seen a no-hitter. I would have been a little upset after covering this game for 20 years and having never seen a no-hitter, having the chance to go see one as a fan and ended up looking at the Redwoods.
Well, good. Howard, thanks so much as always. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure, Marty.
All right, that is Howard Bryant, the best from ESPN. All right, more coming up on the Sports Leader.